There are some unacknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him. And,
yep. Most regrettable.
Oh, did you see? What was I watching? Oh, my brother showed it. I'm sure y'all saw it. It's like the newer Jackass movie or whatever.
Yeah.
There was like a pogo stick incident.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, my goodness.
I watched a good chunk of that movie until I literally just closed my eyes and couldn't stop watching.
Yeah. I had to leave the room.
It was awful. It reeked of desperation.
Yes.
And non-relevancy.
And there's no way I want to look at, was it, which one?
Steve-O's
ass.
Yeah.
Like actual asshole.
Yeah. Right in. Tight shot.
Yes, it was. They were blowing bubbles.
Loose.
They were blowing bubbles under the water to capture his farts in a cup that had a spark in it, and it eventually blew up.
Huh. That sounds inventive.
Yeah, it does. He looked wore out.
He did. Yes.
Yeah.
He looked
all
rough.
All of them looked wore. I didn't really see Johnny Knoxville do too much, but the colostomy bag and all. I guess.
Yeah.
Probably.
And that's the what's with the pogo stick.
So they were just. They had Francis Ngannou punch this dude's balls, and then
with a cup on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
He had a cup on. Yeah. And then they did some other stuff. And then I think it was right when they bust out the pogo stick.
Fast pitch softball in his nuts.
Yeah, she's like semi pro.
Missed it like three times right on the same thigh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And then finally nailed him dead center.
Yeah, it probably made it a little better.
Because
at that point, he's like, I mean, you get hit in the thigh. It's sensitive. Mm-hmm.
And
right?
It was already purple by the fourth throw. Mm. You know? It was like, dang.
Was he wearing a cup for that one, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he wore a cup for all of them.
For all of it.
No pogo stick in all of this.
Not yet.
Or are they on it? Oh, okay.
No. Not yet.
Okay.
That was the, yeah.
That was the last one.
Francis Ngannou, and then the softball pitcher.
I think,
and I don't know, piranhas maybe or something. But yeah, it was eventually the pogo stick. And
Same guy every time?
Same guy. Hmm. Yeah.
But as you would
He's not one of the original guys.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's Dave. I'm pretty sure that's Dave England.
He's a real redheaded.
Real skinny guy. Mm. Was real skinny. I don't remember.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I'll have to look.
Probably
at
his 40s.
Yeah. Give or take. Yeah. Okay.
They all are now.
Yeah.
But yeah, he. So the pogo stick, they jumped up on it. But if you imagine, when landing, he landed on the cup. He hit the cup dead center, but it's a pogo stick. It slid right off. But while it was sliding off, it pushed the cup forward or up. So the pogo actually directly pogoed on his sack.
Oh, man.
Like his available open sack.
Oh.
And
this guy, right?
He's screaming. Yeah, he's screaming. Yeah, that guy.
He's OG crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's screaming, right? And then they pull the what he's wearing right there down. What do you call those? The jock strap.
Yeah.
It pulls the jock strap down, and it's like a what looks like would be a purple pole punch basically in his sack.
Dang.
It is ridiculous. There's Ngannou.
Yeah, get straight up with a big hook right to it. Oh my god.
How much do they pay that dude?
Yeah.
Can you look at the pogo stick part? I'm just curious. Is it open? Is that available there?
Man, I feel so queasy.
I'm sorry. We don't have to do that.
I'm glad that it was literally when they bust the pogo stick out. I'm like, I ain't watching this.
Yeah, you ain't with that frat boy nonsense.
No, it wasn't entirely my fault. I think I talked about it on the podcast. I watched it at my buddy's house in North Little Rock. The night that tornado hit North Little Rock, like a half mile from dude's place. And the plan was to go out and go do some stuff, enjoy the night on the town, you know, go to a little bar hop and at least go to a nice restaurant. Well, then freaking tornado hits as soon as we get to North. Yeah. Has to ruin everything.
Yeah.
So we stayed at home watching Jackass 2.
Jackass, huh?
Oh, wow.
Darn it. That sucks.
Yeah.
It's just sad at this point. Surely Ngannou must have been like, I don't want to do... Yeah, like, was he at all apprehensive?
Maybe Ngannou was a fan of the originals or something.
He must be.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though.
He seemed like a perfect age group. Willing participant, but I imagine he would be no matter anything he does.
Yeah.
So if you're
they say
punch
that,
somebody.
That punch he throws, man, that's like getting hit by, like, whatever, a Ford Taurus going 40 miles an hour?
Right.
At least five shacks.
Yeah.
It's at least five shacks.
Five shacks worth of inertia. Going
he's 22 hands tall.
Yes. By the way, he is in a rough place right now. Just quickly,
because
that is big MMA news right now.
Say something racist or something?
No, he left the UFC, vacated the championship to go and find more money elsewhere, or a place that would allow him to box, because UFC does not cross promote unless you're Conor McGregor.
Unless you're slapping.
Yeah, or unless you're slapping or you're Conor McGregor and you can go box Floyd Mayweather, you don't get that's the Conor deal. You know, exactly. Nobody else gets that. So then Ngannou left. And there's been three different promotions say give him the stiff middle finger this week. As far as his BKFC dude who they had a huge weekend last weekend, massive for them.
Oh, that was Conor McGregor fun. Came to that.
He came to that.
That's awesome.
That is huge actually for that fighting promotion. But then he said he's Ngannou's asking for an unrealistic amount of money. But BKFC isn't going to supply that anyway, I don't imagine. They offered him $8 million to fight Jon Jones, and he said that's not enough. You know, or at least it's not enough without the boxing clause as well. Because he knows he believes he can go box like Tyson Fury for $30
million or something like that. I see what you're saying.
So he wants to be able to box. So 1FC came out and said they offered him $20 million deal, and he wouldn't take it.
How many fights on that?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know about that. And 1FC is, if there is, 1FC does, they do MMA, they do Muay Thai, they do kickboxing, grappling. They do like a bunch of different things. They could easily throw a boxing matchup in there for him. You know, like they do a bunch of different martial arts underneath 1FC, which is cool.
Why didn't Jake Paul fight in Ghana?
I don't know.
I mean, you know.
You think he would offer?
I mean, if Jake Paul is just about the money and the views, like he says.
There's not going to be much else that he can do to sell. You just get knocked out.
I would pay to watch Jake Paul get knocked out by Francis Ngannou.
100%.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, like co-promote, like he boxes somebody and then they have Francis Ngannou versus some guy on a card.
I can see that.
Where Francis Ngannou makes a few million or something.
Yeah. What does Jake Paul fight at?
185?
185. Okay.
So or is it 205?
Ngannou's 245-ish? 225-ish?
Yeah.
Where does he hang out usually?
He makes the maximum heavyweight limit every time. Like 265.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
265 he weighs in. He's probably 280walking around in that ring.
Holy
or
cow.
More. Or more.
Yeah. 300 when he's, feeling fat.
Yeah. I think BKFC heavyweight restriction is like 275 or 285 or something.
Gotcha.
And there's guys past that. Ben Rothwell fought last weekend and he weighs like 320 pounds. He has to cut a bunch of weight to make the heavyweight limit. And he ain't fat. He's just, he's a little fat.
He's fat.
He's plushy.
Yeah.
But
he's plump.
Anyway, that's speaking of Ngannou.
That was fun, though.
Yeah, people are like, people are saying he's fumbling the bag, so to speak. You know,
I've been following BKFC for a few years now, and I think that's awesome for them.
Oh,
that, like you said, that's huge for that promotion.
Platinum Mike Perry is hilarious.
To fight and to get the fighters they're getting now progressively more and more. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
He fought MVP and then he fought Luke Rockhold last weekend. Who knows what's next? He could easily convince Tyrone Woodley or somebody to come on. Tyron Woodley to come over or somebody like somebody big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I was thinking like Houston Assassin.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I don't think he fights anymore. I think he has a physical disability now that keeps him from fighting.
Yeah. Very cool.
Michael Houston Alexander?
Houston Alexander.
Yeah.
He's still fighting on BKFC.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's fighting this weekend on
maybe
BKFC.
That's why it popped in my brain.
Yeah, maybe.
Who am I thinking of then?
You might be thinking of him.
Maybe. Well,
he's bigger. But
yeah, he's pretty tough.
So is Luke.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Just thinking about Ngannou, that's been a big thing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that he's only catching flack from people for trying to make more money. Mm-hmm. I did totally figure you would say something like, he's retiring to spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
And I imagine the average UFC fan would be like, bitch.
Yeah.
It's your freaking family?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What a F word that I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Yeah. Are we on the radio?
Dang. Yeah. Oh, well,
or no, should never live. Say anytime, anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Well, nice catch.
Yeah.
Nice catch.
You bet.
At least not in front of your daughter. I think that's the only place you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just wonder how racist
any child. I mean,
how racist would you have to be canceled if you're black, though? You know, that's because back to, not that I want to spend too much time on UFC, but this is a recent one. Israel Adesanya, who hails from, he's a Nigerian born, I believe. He lives in New Zealand, though. And then you have
ex Boko Haram or something.
Something. With
that name.
And something. And then you have Francis Ngannou, who lives in the States. And then you have Kamaru Usman, who also lives in the States. All these guys represent Africa. So this one dude, this South African white dude named Dricus du Plessis.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, du Plessis.
Yeah, du Plessis. He's like, he wants to fight for the championship. And he'll be like, I'll be the actual first African champion.
Yes.
But he's white.
That's hilarious.
You know, so then Izzy comes out the next week and he's like, he's not. Don't you tell me where I'm, this crack of ass, tell me where I'm from and this and that. You're a colonizer and all this just because you live in a place you call it, all that kind of stuff.
I
called him a cracker like 10 times.
Are you still a colonizer if your great, 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 great grandfather settled there in that region?
Yeah. I don't know. Are you?
I don't know.
No, we are, I guess, right?
Yeah. It's
colonizers.
That's
a colonizer.
That's a good. Yeah. If you walk around downtown Flagstaff, you may get called a colonizer if you're white. Like, dude, I'm from Germany.
Yeah.
Still.
I'm just here taking your jobs.
Yeah.
And women.
Yeah. So, of course, like, there was a cancellation attempt or whatever.
On Adesanya.
But whom?
Yeah, exactly.
Who is like, the real cancelers, the ones who have any kind of pull are like, I ain't touching that.
Janet from Ohio. That's
Who's canceling. Janet from Ohio is not touching the overt, you know, quote unquote racism.
Yeah, she won't even tweet about it.
Yeah. Well, he's black, so he can say it, you
he can
know,
say whatever
which I agree with. Oh, I honestly agree with. Yeah.
He can say cracker
all day.
He got you. Okay.
All day.
Yeah. I mean, I can say, I think anybody can say anything. I choose not to say words because I choose not to say
words. Right, right. Yeah, that's true. You know, but then there's
from a time where there were repercussions.
Yes.
Before social media.
Exactly.
That the only time you'd say something, it was when a person was actually in front of you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So, yeah, you said the wrong thing and there was immediate repercussion. There was a reaction.
Yeah.
Good or bad, you know.
And a phone call, you're like, you're a bitch for calling. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you called and talked shit back then.
Oh, yeah.
It's like meme.
But now it's like cool to do it online?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it's the only place to do it. You know?
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of people like the people act on Facebook like, I know you in real life, you do not talk or say or act like that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like,
exactly.
You know, and I mean, come on, it is like 2023. Like, you at some point, we're going to have to tie our like reality to our social media presence. It's got to match. By now, you would think it really should start matching.
Yeah, we all know a guy who talks mad crazy on Facebook. Then you meet him and he's like,
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. Maybe.
I expected you to be much more. We had him on the air. And I was like, I'm excited for this guy because he's going ham and cheese on Facebook all the time.
Okay.
So he must have some wit about him. Something, let me get him on.
He's
and he's like,
he's the funny guy in the world.
Yeah. He's back here. He's like, this is what's going on this weekend. You know, like way back off the mic. Like, get on the mic.
Yeah.
You know, let's go.
Yeah. Show me some of that pizzazz on the socials, man.
Like, man, I really put myself out of here for you.
Yeah.
All right, dude, you're about to make me look like an idiot.
That's right. All right, well, we'll be back.
Sorry about that, everyone.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, is it, Patrice O'Neill, who's one of my favorite comedians, who's deceased now.
What's he look like? I'm just
He was black. And he said,
not the prettiest guy in the world either.
But he did say, that's my reparations, to be able to say whatever the heck I want. Now, of course, that was like 12 years ago.
Okay.
So things are way different now. But he said, that's my reparations, that I can call you a cracker all day.
And I
can
handle
that. You just have to go like, you know, but you can't say that. You know, you can't say nothing else type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, to each his own, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Lindley today would let you call him cracker all day.
Right.
And just be cool with it. Just like, you're funny.
Jay Lindley on the bus when he was 21?
Jay Lindley on his motorcycle when he was 21, pulled up, we would have had a scuffle.
Words? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I just imagine if I'm getting called a cracker, I'm on a bus. I don't know why. Is that's not nice, is it?
Did you take the last seat in the back of the bus? Or what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if there's a time where I'm going to be called like, you crack ass mother, you know, I'm going to be like on some form of public transportation. And I'm going to have to fight in a very small area.
Yeah.
You deserve to be called the cracker.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that all black people ride buses. I just think of the subway. I'm thinking that's what I'm thinking of, the subway.
They all drive Priuses.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, actually. Teslas and Priuses. Yeah. Now I'm on the subway. There's piss on the seat right there.
Right.
There's trash rolling around.
Somebody eating their dinner.
Somebody
they're cooking on
the entire rest of the subway car is now on the other end. And it's just me and the guy on this end.
After he caught a glimpse of your Mein Kampf that you pulled out, and he's like, "Cracker,
sir,
I take exception, to that reading material you have."
Yeah, yeah. What are we, Nazis? We're gonna burn my books, you know?
Oh wait, yeah,
too late.
Yeah, you guys have a good week since we last talked. Jay went to Sedona. Yeah.
I did. Ooh, yeah. Sedona, Arizona. You guys is you come neck back of the woods, if you will.
You came back woke and
crystallized.
Crystallized, yeah.
I went into a vortex of crystals.
Going to trance while you're
That's what it is, a vortex, right?
Vortex, yeah. Vortex. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Vortex of crystals. Felt like I was on DMT. No.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ride the snake? In the desert?
I did not.
It was just hot.
Yeah, a bad thing to add. That has different connotations.
Sounds kind of just ride the dragon.
Yeah. Well, as Jim Morrison said, ride the snake, man. It was like, Jim, I don't know you that well.
But yeah, Sedona, Arizona, went down there. I flew out on Wednesday morning.
Fly into Phoenix?
Yeah, flew into Phoenix. Not a Prius, but a...
You copped a Tesla?
I copped a Tesla from Phoenix, drove it to Sedona.
They have lots of charging stations everywhere. More than gas stations.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's I saw more charging stations than gas.
You use gas still?
Oh, my God.
real quick aside here is we got a public area in our town where they just put in a couple of charging stations, and they announced it at a city council meeting the other night. I turned to the police chief, and I was like, I'm kind of worried about the type of crowd that's about to bring in. He's like, you and me both. Like, dead serious. Like, I was joking. Come on, man. I was joking. It's a perfect. Yeah. You can laugh. He looked me dead in the eyes. He's like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I would suggest Democrats. Putting cameras there.
Yeah.
And then catching all the people rolling up in their trucks and pissing onto the, which is a very common thing right now.
Or ripping the hose off and then jumping back in their dually and rolling coal on the way out.
Yeah, yeah. That's one way to put a stamp and an exclamation point on those Dems.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way.
The libs, really. Yeah, yeah. Every time you do that.
By the way, if you're listening and you're looking at this, it's this weekend's right here. Okay. You know, you're looking at this weekend. You own some libs this weekend, and they're Teslas. Teslas have cameras 360.
Yeah.
So when you pull out you whip it out to piss onto
and
the
it
Tesla.
Can magnify
two violations.
You
there.
Get two violations,
and they do have magnifying glasses. So believe me, they're going to catch it. Yeah. No matter what, it's going to be caught.
They'll know if it was a little spray bottle or. Yeah.
Just go watch the compilation on YouTube before you.
Oh, before damn it! They had to zoom mine 8x.
Yeah. 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 Still, they didn't even blur it on YouTube.
Right. All right,
it cannot be seen with the unaided eye.
And so we got down there, met up with my dad and my brother.
Who were there already?
They drove
all three.
They drove in together from Oklahoma City. I flew in from Dallas to Phoenix. So, but we met there.
Your brother roll up in like 2500 diesel.
No.
He was in the cut off of it.
He was in the 98 Honda Accord that he rebuilt himself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's nice.
It's nice. Yeah, it's got leather interior and all that. But he bought it like for $1,500 because it had a blown gasket.
I was gonna say he rebuilt it 300,000 miles on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Your brother is very successful.
Yes,
and I always imagine him in a 98. Clapped out Sunfire.
Absolutely.
Just rolling until that breaks, and then it's on to the next junker.
He'll just
making you pay the gas.
What he'll do is he'll drive it to San Diego and park it there and let them tow it when he don't want it anymore.
Actually smart.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Just funny.
He's choked up.
It's just funny.
He's powerful.
It's so powerful.
Tyler's an aspiring cheapskate.
Yes, yes.
And he hears, you know, your brother, who might be the master of it. Yes. You know, he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's dreamy
eyes.
What a hero.
But so just to make it short, we did do some pretty cool stuff. We hiked like the five top, you know, hiking areas there. Big something. There was a big one
it's
of
big.
Big something. Yeah. They call it big something.
Big something's fine.
Big Rock. Big Rock. I think big it was Big Rock.
Yeah.
Was one of them.
Castle, right?
Is Castle Rock, Castle something. Like yeah, yeah. There was like three or four or five of them that we were like, all right, we're going to go to those. And Pig Trail or something. But anyway, we ended up hiking 19 point something miles over 2.5 days, five hikes. So we'd like hike somewhere. Then we get in the car and go to another spot, hike there.
Yeah. That's some rough country, too.
Yeah, it's no straight path.
Nearly 2,500 feet of elevation.
Mm. Yeah, up
change,
and down.
Up and down.
Half a mile, yeah.
Yeah, one of them was almost, it felt like it was almost straight up because you were using your hands and feet to climb in some areas.
Oh, man.
How'd your dad do?
Didn't miss a step with us.
You know, so now you're worried about, you can't take him still.
Oh, yeah, I can't take him.
That answers that question.
I was like, dang, man. I figured at least point he'd be like, y'all go ahead on this one. I'll wait when you get back. No, never once. He didn't. Yeah. So
Come on.
It's pretty funny, though. His old airborne buddies from Vietnam, though, he posted some pictures on his Facebook. You know, got to go to do this. His old airborne buddies were like, dang, old man, you looking, or who, actually, one of them was like, who's the old man in between those two young guys right there? And he was like, well, hey, they had to hold me up, keep me held up steady while we got to the top. So, but it was pretty cool. So I had a blast, flew back on Saturday morning.
Flight go well?
Yeah, flights went well. No screaming babies, no
fighting
air
matches,
marshals.
No UFC matches going on
exactly.
in the bathroom.
Yes. Matter of fact.
Dallas to Phoenix?
Yes. And I know my wife is listening to this, but y'all know I'm a human male as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably the best looking flight attendants I have ever had.
They're
on a flight.
They're ramping it up. They have a huge...
And they were wearing things that were clingy versus, you know, in the past, they would be... Maybe a frumpy style woman with something that, you know, was respectable.
Yeah.
This was two younger, not like younger in the sense of like teens or anything. No. They were like 28 and 35. Right. You know what I mean? And that give or take.
Right.
And they weren't like supermodel status or anything like that. They had their own, you know, curves or whatever. It was just, I think, I don't know if they organized it or what, but they were both wearing that same. One had a separate color jacket than the other or whatever, but they were very clingy.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I was taken out. And I was sitting in the very first
seat. What airline?
American Airlines.
I think
it's a good one.
Yeah.
No, let me look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Southwest.
I mean, gone with the days where there is like ghetto airlines, you know, like
JetBlue.
Yeah.
But you're like, dang, that's some ratchet.
What's the
on
ones
there?
That
but
I've
it was
seen.
Noticeable.
It was noticeable, yeah.
The two that was dealing with us up front were, collectively the best looking crew I've ever flown with.
Yeah.
If we go down right now, won't be too bad.
Right.
And then the guy comes from the back, just as handsome. I mean, I don't know if these pilots handpick their crew. Seriously. Uh-huh. Yeah. Good looking dude. I was like, okay, this is the best looking flight crew I've ever seen.
Ugly people as crews of a plane.
Maybe that's true.
Just in videos. Just in the fight videos on planes where the one is a ratchet ass, you know, flight attendant who's a bitch, you know, getting a big smack.
Or is an old Karen like,
that
Patty, that style, you know what I mean? You can bleep that out, but that,
I think it's better for a passenger, like comfort and confidence. You know, if you see a bunch of beautiful, like people so beautiful, there's no way God would let this plane go down.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that's it.
A bunch of ugly people, like you deserve to die.
Yeah,
yeah, look at you.
I just, I mean, especially for American Airlines, I think that's in their application process. They sit down across and they're like, your parents love you. That's your parents love you. You're not getting this job.
I was actually on
you're
Southwest.
You're not trans by any chance, are you?
Yeah.
That'll definitely get you. That's a big position right now.
Dang it.
Oh, man, you had to bring that in. Now I'm doubting everything I saw.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I think you would have known. Yeah, and then you would have.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a very clear and concise.
Food on the plane?
Not that flight.
The trail mix and a soda.
Nice.
So
complimentary.
There was a dip. There was a day where a 2-hour flight would get you. You'd still get a full meal.
Full duck and a everything on it, and a cigarette, pack of smokes to go with it for dessert.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Flying into Dallas is all right, and I ask because it was the last time I flew from Phoenix to Dallas. I swore off flying forever at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took like 3 times to land the damn plane.
Dang. What was your airline?
I think it was American.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was American. 3 times to land that plane. I found out later, too. Actually, I was I saw a headline on NPR. There was a freaking NPR reporter on that plane, too, because they talked about having to land three times.
That's cool.
Or, you know, about every time the plane would get about 1,000 feet or so. Right about that point, every time I fly, when we land, I'm like looking out the window being like, I could jump from here and survive.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like before that point, you know.
Right.
Blam, we'd hit some turbulence. That plane would shake real bad. People screaming, getting on their phone. And the plane had to go back up, circle around, try it again. Finally, on the third time, he landed it.
Yeah.
Or she. Yeah.
Of course.
Did you try calling to the NPR show?
No.
Okay.
No, I should have. But because I also broke my phone in the Phoenix airport.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I was like the only one who couldn't call his family to be like, I love you, and I'm dying.
Whatever. Just get home.
Thankfully, you weren't able to send that message.
Yeah, that's right. There was a lot of people that tried to make some like explanatory phone calls afterwards. Yeah. And they're like, and maybe a lot of family members are like, well, finally.
Yeah.
The plane's going to, of all things, fine. Let a plane kill them. And they call, oh, no, we're fine. Yeah, we landed.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Let down.
I'm already taking you stuff to the pawn shop.
Did they tell you that? I know it's common for a pilot to tell after a rough flight, you may now call your family and loved ones.
I don't. You know, after they land, he anticipated everybody was doing that already.
Okay. So,
yeah. He said it was that was a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that.
Just out of breath, like, oh, we're there. We're done.
He knew better than anybody. We were fine. You know, definitely maintained calmness. The whole crew did, you know, because turbulence does not take planes down.
Right.
You know, just doesn't happen. You know, it'll kill people inside planes for sure. I heard there was one.
What if it kills the pilot?
Well, the pilot just be buckled in. The only problem. You hear about people hit some bad turbulence. I know there was one year back where it was like a flight around Indonesia. A dang plane dropped like 1,000 feet out of nowhere, and the people who weren't buckled hit the roof of the plane, and a few of them died from broken necks.
Yeah,
I think more than a few.
Was there a video of that?
Ooh, I don't know.
I can remember seeing a video similar to that, and it was, I don't know exactly where the plane was coming or going from, but
I feel like I saw that too.
It shot them up and then boom, back down. And it's kind of, it was like there was some broke necks on that one.
Yeah, 100%. That's why when I fly, man, dude, unless I like absolutely am about to piss my pants or something and I got to go to the bathroom every other time,
So you're not kicking your feet up, your shoes off,
I'm on edge the whole time.
Yeah,
really?
Chit chatting it with everybody. Well, and.
Depends if I drank before I got on the plane. Right. If I have, then it's like, let's just suck it go down. I'll survive. I'll walk away from it.
Right.
It's always like a guy in a fleece, a white guy in a fleece, I feel like, who just kicks his loafers off, enjoys the flight, walks up and down the aisles. Oh, you know, go over here, go over there. It's like, sit down. Just sit down.
Yep. Doing like yoga in the aisle.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, stretches and
I think my biggest pet peeve is people getting up while the seatbelt light is still on.
Right.
And going to the bathroom. Because they make it clear.
Yeah.
Follow a rule or two in your life. Come on.
Yeah.
But they don't ever stop
America.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or maybe
it's
they do
worth
in some
it.
Cases.
It's probably not even worth it, you know? Because now you're 50% shot. Or there's a 50-50 chance the person will be like, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Right.
And then the other 50 are just like, fuck you.
Yeah. I got to pee.
Yeah.
True.
That's true. Like, and then this flight attendant is just looking at that. The drink cart will crush them.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Whatever. As long as I'm buckled in.
Yeah. And having a baby, we're planning on going to Canada in a couple months, see the mom and stepdad and family up there. Nice. And the wife wants to fly. And I really am fine flying. Unfortunately, it's not the most direct shot to get to
Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, there's a layover in between, you know. So it's like less than 4 hours of flying, but it's still going to be like 12 hours of airport ordeal flying internationally. So you barely Canada, literally still another country. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, we've flown there before to go visit, but having a baby.
Yeah.
Now I'm doubly terrified if the plane goes down, like my whole family's dead, or the ones that matter to me anyways.
Right.
Yeah. But
I'm still here.
Yeah. But most important is people freaking out about babies crying on a plane. I saw a video not that long ago. A dude.
I watched it.
Yeah. You know which one I'm talking
Absolutely.
About. He's like screaming at this baby, man. He's screaming back at it. And a poor mother, like... I can't remember if the dad was.
I don't think either one of the parents was really interacting with him at that. In the part of the video I saw, yeah, it was just
sitting there.
He was just screaming,
and they're just taking it. Yep. You know. Yeah, and let's attendants, just say that this family might have been of one persuasion, and the guy who was yelling at them was of another persuasion, and they were probably really afraid to say anything. Just kind of let it happen. Yeah. And
well, the funniest part of that video, though, was the very last before the video cuts off. The video I saw, a part of it, he says, "Did that baby pay extra to do this?"
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, obviously,
maybe before having a child, I would have been like, "Yep, somebody shut that baby." I think I'm a good enough person. I wouldn't have said nothing. Right. I would have been annoyed
about it. Yeah.
Now that I have a baby, you know, it's like, dude, you could have done a million things, but yell at the baby.
Yeah.
You could have tried interacting, make a goofy face at the baby. Who knows? Dude, might have stopped.
Yeah.
And the parents
don't care, by the way. They're like, y'all deal with this shit now. Yeah. I have to all the time.
He had some ugly woman as his wife next to him, too. And
he wasn't just hollering, like, loudly. Yeah. He was screaming at the baby. Like, screaming mad. Yeah.
And his wife just turned away the whole time. She was embarrassed. Just so embarrassed.
He didn't get pistol whipped by an air marshal.
No.
Anywhere. Unfortunately, I don't think there was one there that time.
He got talked to by the police afterwards. I don't know if there's any charges or anything. Yeah. But, I mean, he's screaming at, like, attendants from what I read.
Yeah.
You know, that because they're like, please, sir, you got to stop, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, I'll just say, with benefit of experience myself, both of you other guys, you want to get a baby to stop screaming? Maybe on the top of the list of things not to do is scream back at them.
Absolutely.
I haven't had any success with that.
Yeah. I try it all the time.
Yeah.
That's like telling me to calm down.
Yeah. On a plane, man, sometimes it can happen to anybody where that pressure or that altitude change, you feel it. As a grown man, whatever, you deal with it. But, dude, a baby has no idea what's going on. They just think now there's needles going inside the middle of their head. Yeah.
They can't chew gum to fix it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, you know?
Try a different kind of scream. Don't scream at it, like do a rock scream. And then, and then the baby will be like, stop and just look at
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I try that type of thing a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
I used to do that with the twins when they would get, you know, in their mood or whatever in the bassinet. I would like peek over the bassinet, like so. I'm playing peekaboo too,
right?
But I'd be like, like the shock sound.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then they would kind of shake, you know, like, they'd go back to crying.
Right,
but
right.
You know, it was fun.
You got 2 seconds of vacation of silence.
Exactly. Yeah, and when you're a new dad. With babies crying, feeling like all the time, 2 seconds of silence is all you need.
2 seconds of them not crying means they're breathing. Give them a chance to breathe in between those screams.
That's true. Miles will cry so hard. It's like this.
Yep.
Like it's like expelling. Breathe, yeah.
It's
hey, come
be
on.
So
come
much
on.
Louder and more effective.
Yeah. That's a bad way to cry.
Yeah. Exactly.
Not good.
Horrible.
Yeah. 1 out of 10. If I could go lower, I would.
He's just seeing how far that diaphragm will flex. Baby.
Yeah. Man, I'm dealing with what I feel like is a bunch of babies right now. I'm having my car still being serviced. I got a call today from them. It's been 2 months getting close on. You know that I've been having this loaner. Surely you
it's
want that
been
back.
2 weeks since I had my car.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no.
I wish
2 months.
2 months.
Sorry.
Yeah. So he calls me today and he's like, "Yeah." So the whole problem was when I first bought the car. Because I don't know. Did I talk about this on the podcast at all?
A little bit, I think. One, yeah. Because I did ask you. I was like, "Why you still got Are you got a new rental?"
Yeah.
I know you've been moaning about it for so long. I forget now.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. So it starts, I buy the car from them and they're like, you know, okay, so as you're driving off, the salesman, which I didn't listen to him at all. I know what they do. They try and, you know, explain things away. He just wants the car sold.
Yeah.
But at that point, it's sold. I signed the paperwork. Don't lie to me. You know, he's like, oh, the pre-collision thing is messing up because of the pre-owned sticker we put in front of it on the... thing. And I was like,
this car from Hunter Biden.
So he's like, come back tomorrow and we'll sort it out for you. And I was like, ooh, joy. I know they're not going to talk to your service department about it. It's 6:30. They're all gone home, you know? And then when I show up, he's like, let me get the, one second, sir.
What was it again that you needed?
Yeah. And he has to rush up to the service advisor. He's like, do you think you could calibrate a pre-collision system on a Toyota? real quick? What?
This is at a Chevy dealership?
Yeah. So then he's like, why don't you just go down to the rival Toyota dealership down in Texarkana and have it fixed there? I'm like, okay. So I go down there, and they charge the full deal, and they can't get it done because something's malfunctioning, right? And they can't tell me what. Like, you need a new camera in it. All right, fine. And then the place at, I take it back to the original Chevy dealership, and they're like, oh, yeah, we fired that guy. That salesman's gone. And he told you to bring it where, considering
the one
we
guy
have a.
Who is in the ad? That guy?
No, not that guy.
Yeah, okay.
That guy's just finance. He's just doing his job.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, we have a Toyota dealership that we would have sent it to rather than you take it to. Who gives a crap Toyota in Texarkana?
Right. Yeah, know? Definitely.
Yeah, so
even if it's further away, obviously yeah. It makes more sense to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I get a call from him, and he's like, listen, you just bring your car. I'll have some when I have something ready for you to loan out, I'll call you. So I'm costing these people money already.
Yeah.
Then I pick up the car, drop it off with them. Then they're like, okay, we need a bracket. We need a bracket to hold this camera. This camera's just like loose sitting in there. Okay, fine. Order the bracket. Well, the bracket didn't work. So now we got to order the camera. Well, the camera is going to take a while to come in. Okay, fine, whatever. Came in earlier this week. They attached it. Still not working. So they call me today and they're like, yeah, it turns out it's aftermarket glass on there, which I would have told you, you don't use aftermarket glass for Toyotas at least. Like I was always told,
it's getting
Toyota
less
glass.
Likely to, yeah. or viable to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So even the windshields are proprietary nowadays.
Yeah.
You know?
Dang.
Yeah. So he's like, I have to order the glass now and try that, and hopefully that works. So I'm like, so probably not till next week. He's like, hopefully next week.
And here's the good luck getting your insurance to ever cover for the actual OEM glass too. Right now, that's like,
they want the aftermarket.
Yep, definitely. My wife's truck's got all that, and it's got the a nice Ranger emblem on the glass and stuff too. I'm terrified of the day that she eventually cracks it. She will. Every vehicle she has, she does that. So
And what's the point even of a pre-collision? I got two of them right here. They're both eyes. Yeah. I can see. Pre-collision, like, what's it gonna do? You're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's gonna to yell at me before I crash and burn. I mean, I don't really need that working, but the problem with is
no. What happens is squirrel's gonna run past. It's gonna slam on the brakes.
Yeah.
You know, cause a collision.
I will
behind
keep
you.
It all off.
Yeah,
because this current thing I'm driving right now, it does not. I cannot find a way to have it default off the lane assist, and that is weird. I don't care if it's helpful or
grabs
not.
Grabs the wheel.
It grabs the wheel for me, you know?
You can't and put I it like even, on assist mode or something?
No, I have to turn it off.
Or,
I have to turn it's automatic on when I get in. Mm. It's just a little button on the steering wheel. And I remember I didn't even pay attention really for the first week I was driving. I was like, this thing just feels weird on the road. You know, I feel it like in the steering wheel. It just feels weird before I realize, oh, turn that off. Oh, there we go. You know,
Mine in between the drive, mine, I keep it on the assist or the warning. So it just tells you, you know, and it shows you a little emblem. Hey, you're swerving out of the lane. Mm-hmm. Between my house and the radio station, which is not even a 5-minute drive, every time I drive it, I get a warning. It's like, you need to go back to bed. Yeah. And it shows a little emblem of a coffee cup. No, I'm just a terrible driver.
Yeah, that's it.
No, yeah, I just got up. But Yeah. I drove 5 minutes and the truck's already telling me you should not be driving this anymore.
Yeah. But every time I talk to these guys, they're like, huh, who are you? What's your name? What's it in? What did we do into it?
Yeah.
Like, you tell me.
Yeah.
I'm not the guy.
I should just be able to give you a customer number or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can look it straight up.
I shouldn't even have to call you. That's what it is. I should not be calling you. If you get called by your customer asking where your car is, ooh, you feel like such a cucked individual.
You should.
Yeah.
Well, they gave you another vehicle to drive. What, you've driven it so long, it needs another oil change.
Yeah.
It's like time for its 100,000 mile service.
I know, dude. Like, don't you want this back to sell? I'm costing them so much money. So they've had to pay the original Toyota bill to some other, like, you know,
it's
sublet that out.
Fee, right?
Well, they still charge the whole thing. Now, I wasn't going to say anything. It's not my place to argue for them what they ought to pay. That's your job. And then they give me the loaner. They order the bracket. That don't work. They order a new camera. Let's eat that. And now we got to order a new glass and eat that too.
Dang.
All because one salesman said, oh, if we, it's because I peeled that sticker off. Boom. Hey, you'll be fine. Just bring it in tomorrow. So I understand why they're not rushing to get it. You know, well, I mean, yeah, you actually should still be rushing to get it out because hopefully it's not going to cost you any more money.
Right. So, for tradition's sake, it's good to know you still got used car salesmen doing lots of coke out there.
Yeah,
you
know, for sure.
And saying stupid things.
Yeah.
And then getting fired the next day.
I saw it. That whole dealership is all glass. So you can see. You can see through to the bathrooms in that thing. You know what I mean? It's just glass everywhere. There's no solid walls anywhere. So I'm watching this guy.
The lead line service department.
Yeah. Man. Well, he scurries his way up to the drive. I can still see him. And I've seen that 100 times. The salesperson who said whatever he could to get somebody into a car and saying, I didn't tell you, could you fit this in? You know? Yeah. It's not, never works.
Never.
Never works. Yeah. So that's my bad service experience for my life. Actually, I'm done with
you
this.
Keep, that's one way to keep the miles off your vehicle. Mm-hmm. So keep it as, I mean, it's almost as brand new as the day you bought it.
Yeah.
You even remember what it looks like?
No,
I don't
remember how it drives, what it looks like on the inside, like the you know, intricacies and nuances about it. It's like a fresh vehicle.
Well, you get a bag of damn squirrels, built a nest inside of it.
Yeah. Honestly, I might just tell them just keep it, and I'll keep this junk, you know.
Dude, I don't, at this point, they might just be like, okay, fine, yeah, you know, let's sell it, try selling it to somebody else who doesn't care about it.
Wait, exactly.
I think I interrupted you in the process, but it'd be one thing. It's like, oh yeah, okay, the pre-collision doesn't work, I don't need it anyways, but it is a Toyota, so it's going to, I mean, you try driving a Toyota without wearing your seatbelt on, it barely lets you drive.
Yeah.
I mean,
you clear the code, or like you clear it off and it comes back 5 seconds later. You know, just bing bing, you can't see my mile. Like I have to exit out and do all this stuff just to see how fast I'm going.
Yeah,
so it's very annoying.
Yeah,
it got to the point where I've ignored that whole part. I just remember that in the Toyota, I've ignored that whole part there because it just keeps saying pre-collision system malfunction. You know,
I remember trying to explain when I worked at a service department, it had a vehicle with an extended warranty on it that had a side obstacle detection module, and trying to tell this like archaic old ass extended warranty representative what that did and why they needed to fix it, because it did buy the package with a with all cover everything. Pretty much. It's like a side, what, man? It's the damn thing that tells you don't turn lane or don't switch lanes because somebody's next to you.
Yeah.
And you got to be, and you know, it alerts you and stuff, but in that particular vehicle with that system, you couldn't check your mileage, you couldn't see your odometer reading. It literally had this big old warning logo on the whole touchscreen panel, covered up the whole thing to let you know your side obstacle detection module is system is not working. It's like, right. I get it. Can I at least see how far I am until I run out of gas?
It locks it up.
Locks it up
for something that a turn of the head used to take care of.
Yeah.
And like, why would you rely on that anyway? Like,
yeah, I get used to it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's not blinking, so you can confidently just.
No, I still look, but I rarely turn my head in a vehicle.
Right.
Well, at least in the new one.
Yeah.
I rarely turn my head in it. The backup camera, man, I am 100% fake.
Oh,
on
that. I'm with that. Yeah.
I will say.
In fact, I did that the other day. Like, put my hand on the back of the seat
and
turned around. I was like, oh, I like pulled a rib. I was like, oh, I haven't done that. I'm out of shape on that.
You haven't pulled that used that muscle in a long time.
Yeah.
Look behind you.
In that Tesla I rented, I got used to the screen, because on the Teslas, it shows all the vehicles, like a little computer screen. It shows all the vehicles around you and everything. It stop signs and everything in the screen.
Is it distracting?
No, not really, but.
At night when it's glaring.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
I did notice, though, that I would glance at it when changing lanes. Because it showed cars 3 or 4 car lengths behind you.
Right.
And it had like a...
That's nifty.
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah. You playing like Candy Crush on it while you're driving?
When you put...
Did you let it do the whole self-driving thing?
Oh, yeah.
When you put your blinker on, it turns, the half of the screen turns onto the camera on the side
on
of the car.
Side.
So you can see if anybody's beside you.
It's like, it's the same motion. Like you have to kind of look down that way or you look that way. It's not, is this progressive technology?
I know.
Left, you know? Man, I mean, it's nifty. I did.
It's still going to take me a while before I fully embrace it. I had a couple of buddies who not that long ago, they drove from here to Wyoming. So a pretty good drive. Mm-hmm. In my friend's, he got a brand new 2500 GMC Sierra, fully low. He's got some seizure issues. And I guess the only way he could like legally drive this thing is if it had all the full, the self-driving technology, or at least that's what he says when I asked him, like, dude, are you even allowed to drive? And he's like, ah, it just drives itself. But they went to Wyoming and back from Southwest Arkansas, and my buddy said he touched the steering wheel to pull out of the motel parking lot. That was about it. Get back on the interstate. The rest of the time, that thing took him there. Yeah.
Dang. Well, as so far, I think it's still the law. I'm not 100% on that, but there will be points where the screen will say, because technically you have to keep your hands on the wheel still, even with the self. I'm air quoting here.
Yeah.
But it will say after, I don't know how far, it was a ways.
Yeah.
2 or 3, 4, 5 miles. I don't know for sure. It started flashing blue and it would say, apply pressure to the wheel.
Yeah.
And that way it proves that you're still there, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
what about if that system goes down? How do you even explain that? Like the thing, the pressure system inside the steering wheel that now I can't drive it.
Yeah. Exactly. Well,
hold the wheel.
One time I didn't notice it blinking, and I didn't apply pressure, and it did it long enough that it shut it off. It shut off the auto drive. Whoa. And then it popped a big notification right there in front of me. It said, "The auto drive is no longer available for this.
What now in this brand of this vehicle?
What if I fall asleep?
Yeah,
or I'm out. You know?
Heart attack or something. Yeah. Now you're dead. But now you're probably going to kill somebody else in this steel rocket you're in. All of a sudden,
you're dead. But you knew you would be dead. Yeah, this thing has that. Like I was saying, and sometimes I've left it on a couple times just to mess with it, and I'll just take my hands off the steering wheel, and at one point it'll just bing on like take steering wheel. Like it's just like you gave up.
Yeah.
Gave up. Didn't you? Stupid machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Told you. But it'll like turn on.
Yeah, on the curves and everything. Stuff. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Even this thing, just with the lane keeping, it's like reading the yellow lines.
Yeah.
But at one point it's like take the wheel. I'm like, Jesus. Yeah.
Well, I did notice though the Tesla had a very tough time with roundabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could not do the roundabouts. And I was thinking, I had the
average per driver can't anyway.
That's true. Yeah. Touche. Even in Arizona, I noticed. Mm.
Stupid machine. Can't even figure out roundabouts.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you program. The person who programmed me doesn't know how to drive a roundabout either. Right. So what the hell?
What do you expect me to parallel park next?
Yeah. Do they even have roundabouts in Africa? Probably not.
Yeah. I know. It's rough over there.
Yeah. 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 All right. I've been trying to be a healthy person, Jay Lindley.
Uh-oh.
It's going okay, but actually it was like yesterday, Wednesday, the first day that I hit a wall hard yesterday, you know? Because I think it was Tuesday, I decided to do like a full body workout, you know?
Okay.
And that just ruined me. It's just sapped all the everything from me, you know? So I wanted to start by like eating a lot better, you know, cleaner, you know, and less.
Gotcha.
Right, so doing the whole calorie counting and like brought it way down, way less than I need. I think even to
just counting them alone, I found helps.
Oh, for sure.
Because you realize how many calories you're actually putting in your body.
It's insane. It's insane.
Especially if you eat fast food.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? One fast food a day is enough calories for the entire day.
Yeah,
usually.
My usual one fast food or say diner breakfast is more calories than I would eat in an entire day if I'm trying to count them and be clean.
Right.
So I'm trying to keep it at 1,800, which I think is probably a good spot for me.
A good full diner breakfast, about 3,000 calories.
Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Totally. Pancakes, eggs. I'm thinking breakfast at the moment, but any even burger, fries, tots, whatever, soda.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You're looking at, like you said, over 2,000 for
Absolutely.
Sure. And, I've been trying to walk a lot.
Good.
Yeah.
Activity they say, you know, all of those are important. Mm-hmm. Sleep, water intake, less in calorie intake, better food overall. Yeah. But, man, activity, it's possibly one of the keys that ties all those in.
For
you know
sure.
what I mean?
For sure. Even just existing burns calories.
True.
So that's that. I would think activity and calorie count. The rest, sleep, obviously super important.
Water,
managing like your time and
your
water.
Your brain that takes up so much of your calories.
So you your blood, somebody. Your heart, your the heat, you know, of your body just sitting there burns calories.
Yeah, got
you
to,
know?
Right?
Yeah, just existing.
Yeah, I think the average, they say between 1,200 and 2,400 calories just naturally burnt.
Yeah.
On if you have an average, you know, you walk where you go and, you know, you're not sitting all the day, obviously, or whatever. But,
that's like a non-active person,
right.
you know.
But it's, you could do like 8 to 1,200 calories if you're completely inactive.
Yeah.
You could still be burning that.
Absolutely.
Without moving.
Yeah. yeah. So I figured, so I've been walking, like I've been made it a point to try and walk 5 miles every day. Like, and that's not my including like
just average walking.
Average walking.
The day, yeah.
You know, I often go to the store, go walk around that, walk around here, go to a tower site, do this, do that, go around, you know,
right.
lift the baby up, you know, even the walks around the neighborhood that I'll do with the kid and stuff. I don't count that. I start the step counter at the park and I walk 5 miles.
Dang,
you know,
it's
over over four.
How often do you do that?
I've done it every day except for last Saturday.
Holy cow.
And awesome. Yesterday I did not do it, or today, and I don't think I'm gonna do it today, honestly.
So you gotta give yourself some rest time.
I'm giving myself time. Honestly yesterday, today, and honestly I'm thinking tomorrow too. I know Saturday I'm gonna feel like I want to get out. We're gonna do some activity stuff and maybe even try and do the walk, you know, and then I'm gonna start on a better regimen with the workout, the full body workout next week,
right?
Because I did it on a Tuesday, which is a weird day. I'm just making excuses because I gotta do it 3 times a week.
I got you.
And I don't want to do it on the weekend, so I'm gonna really try Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Friday,
perfect.
Right. But yeah, you're right, man. When it comes to watching the calories, you know, I basically allot myself 500 calories per meal and then have like 100 calorie snack twice.
Okay.
So I will confidently say
that's like 15 Miller Lights.
Yeah,
that's pretty good in a day.
Yeah, for sure. Beer is a lot. It fits in the calories. You know, the only time I've eaten past 5:30. Was last Saturday, you know, like, cause that's a big thing, dude. Not eating before you go to bed, I know is a big thing. So just eating clean, you know, I started at 251. I weighed myself last Sunday. It was like 246 or something like that. So I know there's some fluctuations there, water and food. Yeah. I don't even quite remember, but that's 5 pounds already.
Yeah.
Like that's just shaved off.
Ideally you weigh the same time and same way.
Yeah.
Every time. So like if you take all your clothes off the first time, then take all your clothes off every time.
Yeah.
If you weigh it 8 a.m. the first time, then weigh it 8 a.m. every time. If you weigh 8 p.m. every time, that's fine too.
Yeah.
But just make sure it's the same time that way. Cause like you said, you wake up with the least amount in you of water and, you know, all of that because you've been, you know, you've been going through the process of
absorbing it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then from that point in the morning, you're probably getting your lowest
absolutely.
Count. So if you wanted a good
first thing Sunday morning is what I did.
Perfect.
It. Yeah.
So do it every Sunday morning.
Yeah.
First thing.
Yeah.
I'm not
even looking at it until that. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
until
totally.
Sunday
That's
morning.
Good.
Yeah. And then of course I'm trying to be conscious about the water, but I'm pretty sure I'm still only getting like 60% of what I need, which
really?
Is better than what I was doing. But it's insane how much water you're meant to drink
right.
through the day.
I don't know how much you'll spend, but I would look into getting one of those the scales that will tell you how much water is in your body. It's the BW count. It's
really?
Body water. And
I
sit at about 58%. They say you should have about 51%.
Okay.
Laura sits at about 52%.
Oh, okay.
So I know they're not exactly accurate.
Right.
You know, the Weight Watcher scales have been under scrutiny, but
right.
they will give you a base to go on. You don't have to say that's exactly what I am, but you can say this is around where I'm at. And if it goes down from here, then I know, you know, even if it's wrong, it's wrong in the same, you know,
count
I'm going down. So
yeah, I'm trying to I filled up a gallon jug last night of water because that's really what I'm supposed to drink. Gallon about, you know, a little under. And but I don't want to be like a madman walking around all day with a gallon jug.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy carrying around a gallon jug.
But I'm thinking about just doing it. I don't care.
You gotta be
it's easier
or be
to
like
track.
Greg. A tumbler guy.
Yeah.
You know, you have this, you know, exactly 64 ounces or whatever that thing holds, and you got to drink that many of them in a day. And when you got that much, you're like, okay, I know. I just finished my fourth one. Yeah. One more and I'm good.
I just feel I'll let myself slide on something like that. If I have just one container, this is the container of water that right. I must finish.
You've drank by half the end of it of the day. By the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you smash the rest of it. You're like, got his container.
Got it. Yeah, yeah.
Four more lined up.
Yeah.
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 It just makes you, it's been making me laugh at like the things that I cherish now or like look forward to. Like the other last Thursday, I was like, dude, I'm going to cheat tonight. I'm not going to go with what I wanted to eat or what I prepared myself. I'm going to have a bowl of Progresso soup, dude. Nice. And I was like sitting over that thing like, oh my God, it's amazing. Savored every five crackers. Like counting all that stuff is just, it's a hassle, you know? It's
but if you don't, you'll sit down with a package of crackers and go through 20 of them before you know it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
That's the best way to do it. Put it in front of you what you know you can, what you should eat. Put the rest of it back in the cabinet.
Yeah.
That way you have a less chance of going and getting a little bit more when you're not feeling satisfied.
Yeah.
And just maybe not keeping snacks in your house too. You know, that's probably.
Especially the real bad ones. Yeah.
It's like a habit I think I picked up from our parents. Like we never had snacks growing up. It was just too expensive, man. You got three kids in a house. You ain't gonna have like Doritos and cookies, and you know that the moment you put it out is gone.
Yeah,
you know, so it doesn't even never make lasts. Sense to put it out. And I got a buddy who you go to his place, do Snack Central, man. You name it. He got like six types of Doritos, types I hadn't even heard of before.
Yeah.
And then you go to mine, man, it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing to snack. I cook you a dinner.
Right,
I cook you a dinner, but you know, unless you want some raw ingredients, you're probably not about to eat at my house.
Right, right. And we kept snacks in the place, and there still is. I did not do a clean out because Allie isn't. I don't care. She can eat whatever she wants. So there's popcorn, there's chips, there's cookies, there's sodas, all that stuff. So that's been like a bit of a, you know, really keeping myself accountable.
Oh, yeah.
Hell, we did steaks last week. We did the steak lunch here that we do, and I sat there and I just ate my chicken and broccoli, looking at it
it's
like
the saddest damn thing you ever see.
Yeah, this is steak. I was just like closing my eyes, to steak. You know, smell didn't
the
do steak, it.
Take a bite. Smell the steak. Take a bite of chicken.
Yeah,
I think I sat at a different table because I think the steak I cooked for myself at least I think it was the best damn one.
Yeah, it looked incredible. The smell. Weirdly, the thing that like made me almost falter was the garlic toast sitting there. For some reason, I saw that and I was like, I had to get out of there.
Yeah.
To leave.
I can see that. Garlic toast is a weakness for sure. The cheesy garlic toast.
Yeah. Oh, man. The five cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be steak fair. I didn't even know there was that many types. Who makes the steak fair or something
like that?
Somebody like that.
That Texas toast nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Texas toast. That's what it is. Something like that. Yeah.
And then, so last Saturday, I planned myself a cheat night. You know,
awesome.
I was reading and hearing, and even Greg was like, listen, I've done this, you know, trying to keep you planned yourself a cheat day to help you out, you know. So I planned a pizza. I was like, if I'm gonna cheat on anything, it's gonna be pizza, you know. And I didn't even like it,
really.
Yeah.
Oh no,
it wasn't even like good.
Oh man.
yeah, but
you built it up so much, probably.
Yeah,
in your mind, and then it was just pizza.
It was shitty. Yeah, it was just pizza.
Yeah,
that's simply all it was.
So I think for me, I found out, and even more recently, I found out that you're critical of yourself no matter what.
Yep.
So don't be as hard on yourself when you have a backslide.
Right.
Because, and you're smart enough to know, you know science, you know enough physical, you know what, it's going to take many years, a couple, 3 or 4 years maybe, depending on how disciplined you are.
Right.
To get to where you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you might as well give yourself, think about it, over 365 days in a year, you should allow yourself 65 days at least where you have whatever you want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's true. I believe that.
And
you know?
that way you're not looking at it like there's no end. I've got 3 years of this before. So you know what I mean?
Yeah. Once a week.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that for me might be once a week. I look forward to that damn thing.
Mm-hmm. You go on vacation. You know, you don't have the ability to take good, super good food.
Yep.
You can pick a little bit better food when you're at a restaurant. And you can say, you know what? These 3 days, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to gain a little bit of weight because I'm eating a lot more than I normally would. But guess what? I'm out having a good time.
Yeah.
I'll get back to it Monday morning. You know what I mean? And I won't beat myself up for it.
Yeah.
And I think the stress of beating yourself up probably causes some of that cortisol to not allow you to lose some of your weight.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah. I believe that too.
Yeah.
The stress probably burns some seriousness. Yeah. And then it's like, I'm lucky in the fact that even with just fast food, it was only an ease crutch.
Yeah.
It's, I like anything and everything. If you put it in front of me, I'm going to eat it. Right. So I can even have, like, I kind of had a cheat night the other night where I just didn't have the meal that I had in my mind planned. I was just like, I'm just going to eat. I still counted the calories, but I had like a turkey wrap.
Right.
Delicious, right? Yeah. And you know, and whatever else, a boiled egg and stuff. I was just like, whatever. I'm not going to worry about, you know, the meal prep I had, the plan, you know, and we're looking at doing all this different stuff that's like honey, chicken, stir fry, and this and that, and all this, you know, delicious. So that's not an issue. It's just like, and the other thing that I kind of wanted to work on, I created a dumb, hacky acronym for myself. I'm calling it fasting. That's okay. What I'm doing right now.
And what's the acronym stand for?
Food, activity, smoking, and time.
Okay.
And the food, activity, and time have been managed. Like, I felt better. I felt great every morning except for yesterday morning and this morning. And I honestly think I just pushed it real bad with that. I just do a 20-pound dumbbell work, full body workout with two 20-pounders that I went and bought.
Yeah.
And that destroyed me, you know? I felt great doing it and then after, but then later on that night and then especially that morning, I was like, oh my gosh.
I literally just watched a personal trainer on social media talk about one of the biggest mistakes people make when they change their lifestyle is they go too hard, go too heavy immediately, and like you burn yourself out almost immediately because your muscles haven't been doing that.
Yeah. So that's why every time I've done the 5-mile walk, the moment I start it, I got the headphones, I got the podcast or the music going, I feel amazing. You know, it's like it's a boost mentally too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I don't feel cashed at all. And I've watched a few videos and read a few things just to try and confirm this, that walking burns right about the same amount as jogging.
Absolutely.
You just have to walk longer.
Less impact.
And it's less impact too. And it's more enjoyable. Like, it's something that's manageable.
Right.
I mean, I did it every day, made sure. A little bit is like 1 hour and 15 for me to walk 5 miles.
Maybe a little soreness in the hips because more motion than you've normally used to. But
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome, bro. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, I do feel really good. And I just got to make it through this week and maybe like reset a little bit. I'm not throwing the bomb away as in like eating whatever. I'm just like, honestly, I think I burned myself out on that. So I'm like, I'm taking my backslide in the way of I'm just chilling.
Right.
I'm going to chill this. You know, yesterday I felt like I couldn't. Today I don't feel like I had time. And then tomorrow we got a like late live remote and I got lots of stuff to do tomorrow. So maybe a walk. But
what's your live
that,
remote tomorrow? Late.
Oh, dude.
Is it that one?
We're doing Cinco de Mayo. Dollar tequila shots.
What?
$4 to $6
margaritas.
Yeah.
What? Their margaritas come like in a fishbowl or something.
Nice. So, we're doing one over there. It's noon to one, $5 margaritas, $2 tacos, giving away all kinds of gift cards and stuff too. It's going to be fun. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Try and make it out to ours because it's just going to be, it's a big party. It's going till 11 p.m.
Dang.
So I'm like really thinking like.
Dollar tequila shots. I'm going to need a designated driver.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I will not eat breakfast tomorrow.
Can you come get me, bro?
I will not be eating breakfast tomorrow to count in the tequila shot calories.
Nice.
I don't know how many it's like 100 per.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around that.
Okay, well, that's 600 calories right there. Yeah, exactly. 6 tequila shots is plenty.
Oh, yeah.
That do me in.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So it has been feeling great. There was one thing I wanted to mention that was funny about all this, though, and I've lost it. But yeah, like the time, feeling like another big thing that kind of made me do this one of these past weekends, I realized I think I played DayZ for like 13 hours straight. Not
really?
Straight, over the course of the weekend, 13 hours over the weekend, I put into like one character. And I was like, this is nonsense. This is really, really, really stupid.
What kind of page was an official server?
Community, dude.
Yeah, which one?
It had mods on it for different kinds of vehicles. So I was on a chopper, dude. Boom.
That's cool.
And it's cool as hell, man. Like, it was just going through the trees, going through this. Like, you just rip it and you can slide and it's got like a bit of like a drift thing going on. Like, it feels really good. So that's why I built like a whole base. I had choppers and
I've seen Patrick on a couple of times here recently.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was DayZ if you were on, but I just noticed when I was playing, the wife got me an Xbox, the newest one. What's the new big fridge?
Oh yeah, yeah. The Xbox Series X or something.
Yeah. She got me one of those for our anniversary. Mm. Happy anniversary. 13 years a couple days ago. May 1st.
Nice.
Mayday. But I was playing that and I noticed then I hadn't been playing much at all prior to her getting me that new Xbox. So, but I've noticed you pop up a couple times. You probably still on private. You don't show up
PC.
When, Or, oh, yeah, no, that's PC. I
haven't turned my Xbox on in a long time.
But you may have just been watching movies or something, too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
I've
not
got
like,
the DayZ itch.
Yeah.
Hearing y'all talk about it, though.
I know, right? When you sell, like, what's
for
that?
Sure. It's not, obviously, playing video games isn't inherently bad. And even playing 13 hours a weekend isn't that bad. It's just every time I've played since that on this kind of healthy thing, it feels that much better.
Good.
Where it's like, I've eaten well, I did all my work, walked five miles.
It's probably an endorphin release because you're like, I'm checking off these good things I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm giving myself a gift, or what do you call it?
I'm giving myself a gift.
What do you call that?
Like a prize, consolation prize.
A prize, like
reward.
A reward, there we go. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. You're giving yourself a reward, exactly. Which is also giving you endorphins.
Right. So it's been good.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you need any help with anything, or if you need,
I do.
Let me know.
That's what I wanted to talk about. I went to the Extreme Gym the other day.
Okay. Is that local?
Yeah, it's local.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
Extreme Gym.
Extreme Gym.
It's in the name. I should have known.
Right? Not even an E.
Yeah. It's with just an X, so you know.
Extreme.
I go in there. I'm like, dude, this is like NASA, the space age technology, this stuff.
Dang.
I don't know any of it, you know? Like, she's like, oh, yeah, you want to take a tour? I'll sign you up, you know, get you going. I don't know any of this stuff. And I don't want to be the guy caught on the video, like, just yanking on cables.
Humping and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know any of that.
Yeah, that's funny.
I don't know. I need to find somebody who knows that crap because...
I'd come over here once or twice a week for some exercise.
Show me. That stuff is weird, and I'm too afraid to do it alone.
And since you're now in it to win it, you got to get a little more intimate with me. You got to come do some jiu-jitsu with me.
Yeah, it's in my mind. There's a boxing gym down.
Okay,
cool. I'm thinking about that.
I will.
Jiu-jitsu would be cool too.
Yeah, I've been tapping out blue belts.
Yeah.
I also slept. I once actually went to sleep for the first time on the mat the other day. Yeah.
Ooh,
I didn't tap quick enough.
What kind of choke?
He had me in a full, like, was the, what is it when I'm facing him?
Yeah.
And he's got me.
Is that a guillotine?
He had me in a guillotine, but it was a little different. He set it in good.
Yeah.
I backed up. I postured. I felt like I was good. It started to weave, but I postured
fast.
I postured again, felt like I was good, woke up shaking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're like, you're good, bro. You're good.
Yeah.
They were like, I could tell you didn't know where he was at for the first couple seconds, though.
That's a point of pride, I think, to go out for the first time on the mats.
Yeah. But it felt, you know, back in the day when you were kids, I don't condone doing this, but you'd breathe, bend over, breathe like 10 times real heftily, and then put your hands on around on your neck and pass out.
Yeah.
It felt just like that waking up.
Right. Did you
know
where you were?
TikTok.
It took me a few seconds. Yeah. I thought, as a matter of fact, they were saying, you went to sleep, bro. You just went to sleep. Yeah. And so I'm waking up thinking, did I just fucking like pass out drunk in front of these people or something? You know?
I got work.
Yeah. But then, I figured it out pretty
good. But, that would be a great one. And boxing too, because boxing is, I mean, that's the ultimate. But I can't be going to a boxing gym when I'm cashed out after a dumbbell workout.
Right.
I need to build up some muscle endurance real quick.
I've got a heavy bag and some gloves that we could, work on, because I've been working with the boys for a couple years now.
Yeah.
We're doing boxing, mainly started up with cardio boxing and stuff. Yeah. But
I mean, it's one of the best cardios you could possibly do.
Well, jiu-jitsu, definitely full body on that. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Cardio boxing was the best thing I ever found for cardio until I started doing jiu-jitsu.
But then when you get like a boxing trainer and you pay him, you're going to get in shape.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like, he's not, there's no sliding. You know, you come to your house and kick your ass.
Advertising.
Yeah, exactly.
Gentlemen, I don't want to wrap this up prematurely. Mm-hmm. You guys keep going, but an opportunity has presented itself that I must take advantage of, or the rug will be pulled out from underneath me, and that is an open production room right there.
Got you.
Because it's almost 2:00.
Understood.
The hell has the time flown? Do you guys want? I can give you a premature goodbye.
No, we'll stop it there.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
Big shout out.
Obviously, yes, for
13
sure.
13 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've been married to her.
That's crazy.
You're I don't married know how to I kept her that long. Sole advertiser.
Been in business longer than that, though, right?
Yeah, she's been doing it for like 30 years.
Yeah, you're kidding.
Yeah. So Facebook page, that's the number one place. And I we know somebody who's now one of their one of her clients.
Okay.
That's,
yeah. Heard it on the show?
Heard it on the show.
That's yes. me. I heard that's it right. here. And, yeah.
You don't blow it up.
Don't. No.
She is legally representing me.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to throw it out. Yeah.
Well, I hate that you you know, caught the case.
Yeah. She's going against you. Actually.
Oh, yeah. Don't.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Yes.
She don't represent scumbags or criminals. So if you're that, look elsewhere.
But I'm both.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. But still give her a like. On
exactly. Yeah.
Good review as well. We appreciate her. We appreciate everybody. Happy 13 years, man.
Thank you. Absolutely. Appreciate that. Yeah. See if we can do another 39.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. We'll come at you with something with substance next week.
There we go. Yeah. My neighbor was married 75 years before she passed away. Yeah. So that's my new bar. Yeah.
Actually, I don't think that's physically possible
for you.
Not
physically possible for me.
Well, you might be the first person to live to like 150.
You certainly could.
No. Yeah. Possible.
Of the three of us in this room, my money's on you.
With my dad hiking 19 miles at 72,
yeah.
If I can just do that, you know what I mean?
The jeans are there.
Yeah.
Oh, in jeans. Yeah. That's it. All right. That's going to do it. We'll see y'all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.